Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? Talk to Jesus for a moment. In a moment of time, just whisper something to the Lord very quickly. If you have an expectation, this is the time to give it utterance. One of the laws of the Spirit is that realities are transferred, they are transmitted in the direction of your expectations. The Bible said, without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater. But you can live with the better all your life and receive nothing from him, unless you fulfill the demands of the law of desire, the law of expectation. He said, the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. You have an expectation tonight, give it utterance, give it utterance, give it utterance. Talk to the Lord. Tell him what you expect. Tell him what you want to have. Rahibunda saprahakte. Veligabundra rahila sindra parados dolobranda kiras. Wars are not primarily for communication. Wars are for creation. It is your word that will cause things to flow in your direction. When God wanted to see a change in the world of chaos, all he did was to speak. The Bible said the Spirit of God hovered upon the waters. The Spirit of God hovered. But what he wanted was light, not darkness. And he said, let there be light. Can you speak forth what you want to see? He said the walls were framed by the word of God. The word of God upon your lips is what will create your world. Give utterance to your expectations tonight. It's not enough for you to have it in your mind. It's not enough for you to believe it. God is not so committed to what you know. He's committed to what you say. The Bible said it's the one that confirmed the words of his servant. He performed the counsel of his messengers. Come on. You want to speak tonight and tell the Lord what you want. What you desire. Give expression to the burdens in your heart. The King of Kings is in our midst tonight. He's in the business of doing us good. But we must learn how the realm works. Even himself obeyed the laws of the realm. He obeyed the protocol of the realm. God knew the word he wanted to see. He knew it in his mind. The Bible said his spirit hovered upon the waters. He brooded upon the waters. He knew what he wanted to see, but he had to speak it forth. What you don't say, you will not have. It's not enough to see. Many have visions, they die with them. When you become bold to give vocabulary to your vision, the energy of creation is trafficked in the direction of your world. Speak to Jesus. Speak to Jesus. Barakantra paras. Velegarinda sure ekti paranas kila brahandas. Veligiza suze la andri parasis zoa. Para preste baliso da milana. Marico segapira sule baranda sati. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. La baranda zodia pale cadere dina sadas. Prendesca pelido sondre capra dina salamanda. Viti sagasino, rahabina santa aliata. Prata sete caparana sondre la gatias. Ombra sate caparina sondre na has. Ala gababas. Bara, bara, seligalata. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you glory. Can you lift your hands to the Lord tonight?
Come in an akane. Come in an akane. Come in an akane.
Come in an akane.
Come in an akane. Come in an akane. Come in an akane. Come in an akane. Yeshua, Hamashiach. Come in an akane.
Come in an akane.
Oh, Yeshua.
Thank you, precious living God. Thank you for the privilege to stand in your presence. Thank you for your labors on the cross. Thank you for your perfect sacrifice, the basis for which we can stand in the presence. We honor you tonight, Lord. We reverence you. We give you all the glory. We acknowledge you, Lord. And once again, Lord, we yield to your Lordship. We ask, O God, that your authority over our lives will gain more prominence as you teach us the ways of yieldedness, the ways of alignment, where our will is submitted to your will and our purposes are buried in that which you wrote concerning us before the foundations of the world. We ask that tonight, Lord, you will cause an illumination that will bring us into deeper understanding of the matters of purpose, the things that give us relevance in this world and in the world to come. And as we align with them, Lord, tonight, we trust that we'll receive more supplies of the Spirit, increased capacity to fulfill your mandate even in the eternal. Take all the glory, Father. Take all the honor in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm sure you had a glorious time at the just concluded IEC. Come on, you are not happy. If you really did, you would be celebrating tonight. Hallelujah. It was a moment. It was a moment of glory. And we thank God for granting us the privilege to be partakers of what He's doing in our day and time. It's very obvious and evident that we are strategic in the calendar of God. We are a strategic people, and we are persuaded that whatever it takes or it will take to host the dimensions of God that will be required to steward that which He wants to do in our generation, that capacity will be imparted us in the name of Jesus Christ. I will just be bringing us a short charge this evening. At any point, our Father in the Lord, Apostle Aaron, accepts him, my message will be over. You know, he must increase while I must decrease. That's what John said, right? You know, it's better to drink. Sometimes to preach is a burden. If you've not had the opportunity to be a minister of the gospel, most times you want to run around with revelations. By the time God opens doors for you, you will discover you will need serious help to always bring the counsel of God. It's a burden to preach. I tell you the truth. That's why we are enabled by the anointing. Because it's not a function of intelligence. You can read the whole Bible, but you don't have a word from the Lord. It's a burden. When I came in and Reverend Tony told me to bring a chart before Apostle, I began to ask for mercy. You know, I came to the service flying, enjoying myself, hoping to drink. But when I was told to bring the word of the Lord, suddenly something, an organic operation began in my spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we look at the scriptures. The Lord will have mercy. You know, he said in Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22, he said, by his mercies we are not consumed. Hallelujah. I just want to shed light on a few thoughts that have been troubling my heart, and I trust that it will be a blessing to somebody. You know, oftentimes we have a lot of knowledge. We understand a lot of things and we are very eager to express them. But the crisis of life is that most of the times the things we know do not sustain the capacity to deal with the challenges of our lives. You can find somebody that have a deep understanding about the laws of prayer. He knows about the efficacy of prayer. He can give you a doctrinal interpretation of all the laws of prayers and the purpose of prayer. He can even go the long way to speak with confidence, courage, about the implication of not praying and the impact of praying. But when you have a crisis, the prayer that he speaks so much about, he prays it with so much vigor, but he discovers that the problem keeps staring him in the face. The crisis of life is how to convert our knowledge into existential implications. The things you know in the different spheres of your knowledge, how it can functionally impact your life and create the needed difference, is the greatest crisis of life. And the Bible said we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. So because we have chosen the path of the kingdom, we have only one focus: to press until it works. Because when you turn back, the Bible says it's unto perdition. And so tonight I want to help us with some light on some of the organic operations that are required for the fulfillment of the purpose of God for our lives. Because every one of us have a calling with God. Every one of us have a calling in God. But the degree of its fulfillment is dependent on very rigid laid down policies, protocols and principles of the Spirit. And if you don't understand how to engage it, you may end up in frustration. I did a study recently and I discovered that most of the times, less than 10% of the people that start out in the generation become high flyers. That is why you come to a territory and you see a man pastoring 9 million persons. And there are 900 other pastors that have 50 congregations. Most of them, most of the times, begin at the same time. But at the end of the day, you come to a territory, you can count a handful of people who are making impact. The difference is not whether they were called or not. The difference is the degree of their understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom and the extent to which they engage their lives to ensure that that which God has put in their hands finds expression. And if you don't know it and engage it, you may end up a talker. And in our world today, where we have a cheap platform like Facebook, everybody is an apostle. You know, if it were in the days of our fathers where you had to labor in prayers for a very long time before you have a platform, I think we would have had more impact. Because then it was not to read about something and publish and have 400 likes. Then you have to catch the revelation from heaven. And the revelation will first of all have an impact in your life. So when you communicate it with the energy of the Spirit that brought the revelation. But nowadays, we are Facebook evangelists. Facebook apostles. You know, our Father in the Lord began explaining to us during the conference about the eternal purpose of God. And then he started talking about dominion. You know, dominion is central in fulfilling the purpose of God for your life. And in order for the eternal purpose of God to find expression, we must become custodians of authority in the Spirit. A man without authority has no place when you talk about impact in a generation. Only men of authority have legitimacy to effect positive change in their generation. And the reason is simple. Because change is not a function of desire. Change is a function of a definite force that challenges an opponent that is orchestrating something that is at variance to what you want to bring. Because the realm is a realm of vacuum. And every spirit is trying to gain a place in order to have expression. So what you call a change is actually creating a platform for the Holy Spirit to find expression. And before you get to that point, you will realize that there are other spirits that have occupied where you want to come. So change is not a function of willful thinking. It's not a function of creativity. It's a function of power. And until you are able to host that power of God and know how to communicate it, change will be far from you. So when Apostle began talking to us about the eternal purpose of God, he began to emphasize the way of dominion. And if we look at our life very carefully, we are supposed to be candidates of dominion. But unfortunately, it has only become a phrase that we talk about in the church. It has only become, it has become a doctrinal thing that we explain intelligently, but manifestly it's not anywhere you can find. And the crisis is the crisis of our inability to walk these realities. Maybe because we are not too informed about it. Maybe a function of ignorance. Maybe a function of disalignment. But whatever it is, as I begin to open the scriptures tonight, you will find out what your own crisis is. You know, I've come to realize there are many ways of teaching the word of the Lord. I choose the experiential dimension. When you share the word of the Lord, it should impact everybody that is hearing directly as if you are talking to him. That's the one that is more functional. If we begin to explain the Bible, we may become theologians. And people will come and appreciate our intelligence. They'll say, wow, how did this guy know this thing? Jesus, hear the English. But nothing will be happening to him. That will not profit. So most times we try to bring it down so that you can interact with it personally. Dominion is the key for resetting and restoring the earth back to its original template. When God created the world in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, only the authority of God was expressed in the visible creation. The earth was locked away from every other form of authority. And God handed over the key to Adam in the form of obedience. He gave him instructions, and his obedience to those instructions was the security for the earth realm. So long as he obeyed the instructions of God, the earth is sealed from infiltration from other entities that are looking for means of expressing themselves in the earth realm. It's just like a man who finds himself in an ocean, but is locked up in a balloon. So long as he's in that balloon, there will be oxygen. The crisis of that man will begin when the balloon is punctured. The moment the balloon is punctured, influences from his environment will begin to infiltrate the context of his expression. And that was what Adam did by his disobedience. Meanwhile, what God had in mind was to create a system where man would be in perfect intimacy with him, such that the man's intimacy with him will become a medium of trafficking all of the possibilities that are in heaven, until the earth comes to a point where it becomes the mirror image of heaven. That process was in motion before it was truncated by his disobedience. And if you go back to the book of Revelation chapter 21, from verse 1 to 5, and verse 23, you are going to see the blueprint of what God had in mind in the Garden of Eden. The goal of God was not to create a garden. The goal of God was to create a world that was the mirror image of heaven. That was a place where his perfect authority could be exercised. The same way it is in heaven, so it should be on the earth realm. But this protocol was affected. It was truncated because of man's disobedience. Now, the only intelligence by which that which God had in mind would be fulfilled again was by the principle of dominion. Because the beings that have come into the earth realm, they will not be advised to go away. That's why if a demon possesses somebody, if you like, counsel the person for 1 year. You see, if a demon of immorality possesses a lady, you will advise the lady and tell her all the dangers of immorality. It can't help because she is under a power. Because the beings that have entered the earth realm, you don't advise them out. You force them by power. The only language by which restoration can be found in the earth realm is the language of dominion. He said, I saw in the heavens a new Jerusalem descending. And he began to give us the characteristic of that Jerusalem. He said, there will be no more weeping. There will be no more sorrow. He said, death will not be there. And he said that city will not need any light, because God himself will become the light of that city. And he said it will be said that God now dwells among men. That was the characteristic of that world. And it was what God had in mind when he began to create the world in Genesis chapter 1. At the end of it all, when the whole process is complete, that is what you are going to find. If by any means you are in the New Jerusalem, I will be there. I don't know about you. We will be there in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. So, he said that Jerusalem, he said Jesus will be the light. You know, the Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 1 to 5. He said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He said the same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He said in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when he was talking about the New Jerusalem needing no light, he's just telling you that Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus, will become your operating system. You see the way you want to marry now, you go and say, Lord, who is my wife? In the New Jerusalem, you don't need to ask. Any question that pops up in your mind, what will happen? The light of Jesus will be furnished on it. The greatest crisis of Christianity now, or many believers now, is the absence of the voice of God. If you have become a pastor, you will understand what I'm saying. 99% of the people that will come to you will come with questions. Pastor, what is this? Because the voice of God, like the days of Samuel, is scarce. But the voice of God will not be scarce in the New Jerusalem, because the voice of God will be your compass of navigation. Anything you need, the moment you think about it, light. Because that world will need no sun. Jesus will become what? The light of that world. But while we await that world, the only thing or spiritual commodity or resource that you need in order to walk as if you are in the New Jerusalem is the authority that you have with God. And I want to open it up a bit for us tonight, so that we will know what it takes to walk in the fullness of the authority of God. Because until you come to a point where you walk in the fullness of the authority of God, your calling is not in view. If you like, let an angel appear to you like this when you were 10 and say, Peter, you are a prophet. At the age of 17, you will begin to manifest. At the age of 23, you will conquer your world. You will be 35 when you wake up one day and you discover nobody has heard your gospel. Because there's a requirement, and it's a rigid requirement. The eternal purpose of God is for Christ to become the center of reference of all creation. You live for him, you live by him, you live in him, and you live with him. Everything you do is by the energy of the Christos. If I'm preaching, as I'm preaching now, I will not be preaching because I have knowledge of the Bible. I will not be preaching because I'm an orator. I'll be preaching because I am enabled by the office of the Christ. If I am relating with you, I'll be relating with you because of the enablement that I received from Christ. I will love you by Christ. That's what it means. So even if you steal from me, because my love for you is not out of affection. My love for you is because something eternal is powering me. Your action notwithstanding will not stop me from loving you. So the eternal purpose of God is an organic reality. That is what makes you a superman. It makes you invincible to your world. How do you imagine the people who were killing him on the cross? And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even while he was in pain, dying, he was still loving them. Because it's a commodity that is flowing out from the realm of the immortals. Mortality have no capacity to tame it. Rather, it sustains every capacity to alter the weakness of mortality. Until all that is mortality will become immortal. It is the eternal purpose of God. So that you will become the visible expression of the Christ. When people look upon you, they'll say, this is not a human being. The guy will offend you until one day he will come and lie down and start crying and say, I'm sorry. That day they stole your phone, I was the one. That person that accused you, I was the one that lied against you. The person will start confessing. He saw something in you that was not a reality that was obtainable in the realm of mortals. But to get there is not by desire. There's a rigid principle you need to follow, because your soul has been educated by darkness. Because you live in this realm, you have received all kinds of education. That's why most times you see things happen, you just react. It's later you go and start crying. Why did I do this thing? There's an energy that your soul now conducts. You don't know how your soul became so educated to conduct that dimension of energy. But that energy rules your life. You know, spirits speak on the frequency of energy. You speak based on knowledge, but spirit speak. The language of spirit is energy. If a spirit wants to relate with you now, it supplies an energy. That energy will regulate your looks, your expression, even what you say. And you become a mature Christian when you master how to handle the energies that come into your mind and into your spirit. But all of these things will happen to your soul when your soul comes under the government of God. So in order to restore the world back to the template that God desired, God had to come back. The Godhead had to come back to a meeting. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they had to go back to a meeting in order to interact and find out, by what means can this chaos be rectified? Because God dwells in the realm of perfect and absolute knowledge. So he knows the beginning, he knows the end. But how do we get to the end that we see? The Godhead had to go back to a meeting. You know, they met before the foundations of the world. They discussed and they concluded what the earth realm would look like. The design and everything about your destiny and your purpose was concluded before the world began. But in the midst of this chaos, the Godhead had to sit again and brainstorm to find out the most strategic step to take in order to restore the earth back to that template that was designed before the world began. And the Father came up with a promise. It was the promise of the Father that became the basis for which the possibility of restoring the earth back to original template was found. He promised the Son. He said, look, he said, sit down at my right hand until I make all thy enemies thy footstool. That promise became the basis for which everything God wanted to do again was possible. That is why your calling came to you as a gift. You don't earn it. Hope you know you are an apostle because Jesus is the first apostle. Hope you know you are a prophet because Jesus is the first prophet. Hope you know you are a helper because Jesus is the first helper. So he made a new promise to the Son. And on the strength of that promise, every other thing that lost purpose have a basis for restoration of purpose. He says, sit down at my right hand, Psalm 110 verse 1 to 3, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. That was the promise he made to him in verse 1. And in verse 2, he revealed the strategy. The strategy, or the way by which that promise would ever find expression, is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said he will send the rod of his strength out of Zion. There are two ways the Holy Ghost will go about fulfilling this divine mandate. The first way is to deal with the enemy. That was what the apostle was explaining during the IEC. The Holy Ghost will bring that mandate to pass by two strategies. The first strategy is to rule in the midst of his enemies. So everything that is against Jesus, what will happen? The Holy Ghost will rule against it. So you come to somebody who is sick, what do you do? Rule against sickness. You come to somebody who is bound by darkness, what do you do? Rule by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had this perfect understanding. Before he went out, he knew he was going to confront darkness. The Bible said he separated himself to live by the coast of Zebulun. As it was written, that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He said, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. So what Jesus was coming to do by the Holy Ghost was to what? To rule against the enemy. So everything that is darkness, everything that is inconsistent with the will of God, the Holy Ghost comes to judge it. That's the first strategy. The second strategy is for the ones who are part of God's plan but are falling, to be brought back. And the way by which that is done is by conviction. So perhaps the Holy Ghost comes to hack down the enemy, to destroy the enemy. But when it comes to you, that by predestination is supposed to be aligned with God, when it comes to you who have chosen by choice, wanting to walk with God, when it comes to you, what he will do is that he will orchestrate a protocol in your heart that will make you to submit to God. Whereas the Pharaohs that choose never to come under the government of the Father, what will happen to them? He will rule and they will perish. But when it comes to you who will choose to walk with God and to obey his will and to walk in his dominion, he will create something in your heart. That thing that God creates in your heart is called a conviction. He convicts you of sin. And then you come back and you ask the Lord, what will you have me do? Because he wants to bring you under a new government so that you can become a participator of that which God wants to do. It is in your life eventually that the eternal purpose of God will be fulfilled. Those of us that decide to come back to God and say,
What will you have us do? We become the candidates through which the purpose of God will ever find expression. But all of these two things are possible because the Holy Ghost left Zion. He will destroy the enemy, but them that are willing to submit to God, He will bring them back under government so that their life can be reconfigured and they will become the candidates of His glory. They will become the ones that will host His dimensions and reveal the life and the nature of God. Are we together? I'm taking it gradually because I want to explain some organic things that we have neglected for long. That's where my message is. I want to explain certain things that are already happening in your life that you are not aware of. Those things that you neglect and you pursue a prophet and say, "Prophet, what is God saying?" I want to show you how that those things are the most significant things in your life. And a lot of us neglect it. But first of all, you need to understand that there is a wisdom at work in the earth realm. The wisdom that is at work in the earth realm is to restore this world and all of creation back under the dominion of God, until everything that is called creation will be able to reveal the nature, the person of Christ. His life and His essence becomes a reflection of the Christ. The only way the Holy Ghost can do that is to destroy darkness and to bring light and illumination to the ones that we host that dimension. And you and I, fortunately, happen to be the few that have chosen God with our will. And we are the ones that the Holy Ghost is working upon now to come to that point that we can become the revelators of Jesus. Usually the proof that you are part of those that we reveal the glory of God, the carriers of His dimension, usually the proof of it is not just that you call Jesus Lord. Usually the proof of it is that you live as one who is under the lordship of Jesus. It's a revelation of a life, not a revelation of a confession. Are we together? Because when the Bible was explaining that progression of revelation in Psalm 110, He said, "Those ones, they are the ones that shall be seen in the beauty of holiness." So the ones that fall into that category are the ones that their life is reflected by holiness. Holiness is the summary of their life. They live consecrated unto the Lord. So if you have not come to that point where your life is fully submitted to God and it can be characterized as a holy living, you have actually not come under the category that we are talking about, and you are not a candidate of dominion. You know, when Apostle was talking in IAC that, in the midst of the enemy, everybody was lifting hand like this. It's not for everybody. Dominion is not for everybody. Dominion is for the few that decide to submit their life under the government of the Holy Spirit. Because He said they shall be revealed in the beauty of holiness. And the second proof that you are in that category is that you are quick to respond to God. He said it shall be in the dew of their morning. Quick. It's not just for the young. Of course, there is a prophetic interpretation to it, as touching a generation that God will work with. But beyond that prophecy, it also reveals how quick your response to God is. Else you will not be able to host those dimensions that we speak about. But it's important to note that when the Holy Ghost begins to work this in your life, it is the protocol that is orchestrated and activated in your heart that will determine the degree to which you will manifest this. Because it's not a theological thing. Yes, there is a doctrinal dimension to it. The doctrinal dimension to it, it provides the boundary of guidance. But what will really make the difference in your life are the organic operations that are in your soul. That is why most people pray, but they are frustrated. That is why most people are consecrated, yet they don't see the glory of God in their lives. Because they know the doctrine and their life is governed by rules, but they don't relate with the Spirit. They don't know the organic expression of the Spirit. And those are the three things I want to show you this evening as part of my charge. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you followed me thus far? The plan of the Father is to fulfill the eternal purpose of the Godhead. And the eternal purpose of the Godhead is for Christ to be revealed through creation. However, the world is in chaos. And the only way God can achieve that is to bring a spiritual resource called dominion. And that dominion works in the life of those who have yielded themselves to God in holiness. Those who have been consecrated to the Lord. It's not just for every believer. That's why all of us are shouting. You come somewhere and they say, something is happening to somebody here. You are a Christian. Thank God, there's a Christian here. And then you couple yourself, you gather yourself. And you try to gain confidence. And you come and say, out! You don't even know what's happening to the person. The person didn't sleep well. The person is hungry, so he's fainting. But because you see the person doing like this, you think he's a demon. You don't have discernment. You don't just say out because somebody is shaking. You say out because by discernment, you know there's a spirit manipulating his life. Sometimes you come close to some people, you just know this one is hunger. You tell them, go and give this man pure water with food. He needs food. But because people don't commit themselves to the organic operation of the Holy Spirit, they look at others do things and they do it. And they think because you are doing what somebody else is doing, you have the same result. Spirituality is not trial and error. They are definite things. The beautiful thing is that it's available to all of us. But the degree to which we manifest it is our degree of compliance and obedience to the requirements of the operations. Hallelujah. Let me show you three things very quickly. That will bring you to that point where you can wield the dominion of God in your world and begin to create a change. These are organic things. And every one of us have an experience of it. I just want to shed light on it. So that as you live here today, your life, you will become more decisive about the things of the Spirit. You know, sometimes we are so troubled. We want to serve God. We travel from one state to another because sincerely, we want to serve God. But we don't know why we can't move forward. The crisis is so much. We look confused. What's happening? I'm fasting. I'm praying. Why can't this thing happen? I want to show you some things. There are three things you need to attend to. Those are the things I'll show you this evening very quickly before we begin to pray. The first one. You know, you remember I said something. I said it's not enough to be consecrated. Did you hear that? And you remember I also said it's not enough to pray. Did you hear that? You heard that, right? That's why I need to show you this. If most of you are praying, are you seeing any definite or tangible change, both in transformation and in manifestation? Most of us, we have tried by rules to be consecrated. Are you seeing so much tangible change with respect to transformation and manifestation? If you have seen a tangible change regarding to manifestation, can you wave? Let me see. Very tangible. The things that you see, the things that you hope for, there are things you need to begin to pay very close attention to. Very close attention. Very close attention. You know, the devil doesn't have so much resources. So the devil is very strategic in his attack of your life. Very strategic. You know, it's when you have so much resources that you can waste. The devil doesn't have so much to waste. That's why most times, if the devil wants to attack you, he won't attack you until the time of your season, the time of your visitation. That's when he comes. When you are building up, fasting for 5 months, 6 months, speaking in tongues every night, the devil will not do anything. But the day he senses that heaven wants to visit you, they will now channel all the resources of hell in your direction. You were in your room fasting and praying for 5 months. Nobody remembered to call you. And then the week that you are sensing a visitation, then that girl calls and say, Titus, you don't throw away me. You don't even care. Yeah? It's that week that somebody will be bothered to bring a phone for you. And that phone has, as you open it, the first app you see is Facebook. And as you... that week throughout, your soul go flat. You are on Facebook. Meanwhile, you were trusting God in January for a phone to make calls. The touchlight phone you have fell in the water. And no intervention came. It's in June when God said he will visit you. That's when they brought an Android phone. And that time, you were not praying for phone again. You have gotten used to stay without phone. Is a time of visitation because spirits don't waste resources. Did you not notice that God doesn't anoint people afresh? Every anointing you are walking in now that you think you are the Superman, go back and read church history. You discover you are just doing 2% of what somebody else did. The same anointing is what is at work. That's why God wants to anoint a man. He says, go and meet this person. Go and meet this person. That commodity is already in the earth. There is no one in heaven for you. God wants to give you a prophetic gift. He said, go and meet Elijah. The one Elijah have, he will put it on you. God wants to anoint 70 elders. He said, Moses, I will take of the spirit that is upon you and place on them. Spirits don't waste resources. So the devil is aware of that. So he comes for you in your most strategic seasons. And if you don't understand how these things work, you will be praying and fasting, yet you will not see growth and progression. That is why I said prayer and fasting is not enough. You have to become intelligent about spiritual operations. A man who is not intelligent about spiritual operation will remain on one mountain for a long time. Men of speed are men that understand the dynamics of the spiritual realm. Spiritual intelligence is too important. I want to show you a few things. The first thing I want to show you is what I call attending to burdens. You know, God doesn't just pass through dominion and power on your life. You grow into it. You grow into it. When you come to God, the first thing He's interested in is your transformation. He wants to build you to come into maturity. He wants His life to become strong in you. It's when the life of God becomes strong in you that God can begin to expose you to matters of the kingdom. You know, when we talk about the eternal purpose of God being the reflection of the nature and the person of Christ in all creation, we are referring to both men and things and the systems of the world. Hope you know the New Jerusalem is reflective of the systems of the world. The systems we have in the world now, most of them are intelligence of God perverted by darkness, like the media, like the government, like education. These are the systems of the world. If God transforms you, then God sends you into the systems of the world. Your life has become a reflection of Jesus. Then God now sends you to the media. Go and make the media a gateway through which my dimension can flow. So God doesn't just throw authority on your life. First of all, He works in you. The Bible said He called them to be with Him that He might send them. Do you get that now? So when we begin to talk about matters of destiny, matters of calling, growing in authority, we are talking about receiving enablement from God, not just to orchestrate transformation in your life, but also to bring the dimensions of God to the world where you live. Because that's the Great Commission. These ones have been with the Lord. The Lord has worked Himself into them, and He's now sending them to go and walk Himself into the world. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He said, go into all the aeons, into all the cosmos. The reason your family is not yet a reflection of God is because you have not known how to handle authority. There are entities of darkness that are laying claims on the lives of people there. The only way you can challenge it is when you sustain the ability to handle it. The reason your workplace have not seen the revival and the glory of God break out is because you have not been able to handle authority. The glory of God is within you, but you can't communicate it. And the world will remain in darkness unless sons of order arise. He says, Savior shall come forth from Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau. But how do you come to that point where you can become a candidate of wielding the powers of God and walking in perpetual authority so that darkness will bow at the feet of Jesus? It's when you understand the language of burdens. Burdens are the first thing that take you from your comfort zone to that place where you can begin to submit to the tutelage of the Spirit that empowers you for destiny. If a man has no burden, he's dead in the Spirit. If God wants to begin to bring you to a point where you can orchestrate, activate, and engage the world to bring deliverance, the first thing He does to your spirit is that He begins to furnish burdens. Burdens, burdens. They are spirit distress. They are unrest that are caused in your spirit man by the Holy Ghost to turn your attention to Himself. It is only a burden that can take a prince from the palace to go to the backside of the wilderness, because there is a tutelage that awaits him if Israel will ever be free. Even the voice of God had spoken that these people will be in captivity for 400 years. But at this time, it was already 390 years and they were still in captivity. Heavens was looking around. There was no man that will rise. The only thing that heaven could do to bring intervention was to furnish burdens in the heart of a man. Else they will remain there. And if you think it's a joke, Moses went to the wilderness for 40 years. These guys were in captivity for 430 years. The voice of the Lord would have fallen to the ground. Until you begin to attend to burdens, there is no hope for a generation. Your destiny will be maligned and you will live in your comfort zone and think you are surviving. Whereas, if the vistas of eternity are open, you will discover that you have not begun to gain stature with the immortals. Burdens. They are the most important things that a man can have. Let me tell you something. If you are a spiritual man, the most important commodities you have are not the cars you drive. They are the workings of the spirit in your soul. And one of it is burdens. A man who does not have burden is dead. He thinks everything is well. You tell him about the operation of darkness in the territory, he will say, God will help us. It's not his fault. There are no burdens. There are no burdens. You see others crying. When will God visit us? The guy is yawning. There are no burdens. He's a dead man. In the spirit, he cannot strike any chord. And when God wants to walk in the territory, it will be a waste to beckon him. Because no matter what he sees, he will still sleep through the night. He doesn't have bodies. When the destiny of Israel was about to be turned around for good, what heaven did was to create bodies in the heart of Moses. There are times in your life when nothing matters anymore. You lose your peace. You don't know what is troubling you. The movies you used to watch, when it's on, it becomes noise. Even the people that surround you, they are talking, they are gisting. You can't imagine what they are saying. You just leave them, you go and lie on the bed. You don't know what is happening. It's called burdens. When God wants to create an eternal change in a territory, he begins to release burdens of people. And most of us pray, but we pray religiously. We pray according to schedule. We pray according to fellowship times. And when burdens come from heaven, that is when we are sleeping. That is why we pray for many years, but we don't go forward. Men who attend to burdens, they become masters in the spiritual. Because if you don't travel in the direction of your burden, you cannot come to Horeb, the mountain of God, where the voice of God can be heard. The reason you see people asking questions all the time, what will God have me do, is because they don't attend to burdens. The burdens that the Holy Ghost furnish in your heart is the intervention of heaven for your destiny. But most of the times, people don't attend to burdens. Sometimes a burden can be on a man's heart for 3 months and he allows it to dissipate. That man is a babe in the things of God. The move that changed my life, he did. It came in 2012. Don't worry, let me not tell my stories. Sometimes it's better to look at scriptures. Scriptures have eternal scope. Let me show you 2 scriptures before we talk so much and it becomes something else. Look at Exodus quickly. Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. Verse 11 to 14. See what the Bible says. You think Moses is a great man because by ordination he was supposed to be a prophet. A prophet of God. And then you say Moses the prophet. No. There were things he did. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 15 verse 4, it said the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So if it happened to one man, if you do the same, it will happen to you, because God is not a respecter of persons. Exodus chapter 2 verse 11. See what the Bible says concerning Moses. This guy was in the palace enjoying himself. He was one of the princes of Egypt. He didn't know lack. He didn't know anything that is called pain. In fact, the Bible said they lived in iniquity. They lived in pleasure day and night. That was what they did in the palace. If you want women walk around naked. They serve drinks naked in the courts of the king. You could fall upon anybody that you desire. They were living like the beast of the field that perish. Wine morning till night. As a prince, they bait you. You stroll to the river in the morning, you just lie down. And then 6 princesses are watching you. They are bait. That was their life. They lived in pleasure. But suddenly something began in the heart of this man. He couldn't rest anymore. He looked at the naked princesses. It didn't mean anything to him anymore. They brought the wines. And the wine was like water that was tasting like salt.
what is happening to him? A burden was being furnished. His destinies were beginning to call. The powers of his ordination were drawing him into a deeper place of intimacy. True consecration begins when bodies begin to suck you into God. Consecration is not a function of discipline, where you just go to God and say, today I will stay in the room for 5 weeks. You will run out of there when the lightest distraction comes your way. But when a burden comes, you are bound in the spirit. Paul said, I go to Jerusalem bound in the spirit. That's a man of burden. He had every means to escape, but he was bound in the spirit. There was something holding him down. He can't turn away from it. It's a body. It's a language of spirits for bringing men into the ordination. When you don't have a body, you will not go far with God. Most times when you pray, don't pray for cars. Pray for hunger. You will be relevant with God. You see, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. The first thing you need to know is that the guy had come to maturity. You know, it's only the baby Christians that always come to God. Oh Lord, see my school fees. You say you know the thoughts that you think towards me. They are thoughts of good. All the scriptures he knows are the scriptures that make him receive from God. The guy can quote 50 scriptures. 50 scriptures for receiving 50 things from God. He's a babe. Those ones cannot be committed the riches of the kingdom, because they don't know what it means. They don't know what the thought in the heart of the Father is. They don't know what God is thinking about that. What is happening to Moses now is what is in the heart of the Father. The Father, 400 years was by the corner, and there was no deliverer who will rise and say, God, deliver your people. The Father, he had burden for his people. This guy was beginning to download what's in the mind of the Father. When a man has a burden, even the money in his pocket become relevant. Hope you know, in this IEC, some people were buying suits. They didn't sew 1 naira. They don't understand the weight of kingdom. They only live for themselves. But this guy, the Bible says, when he was grown up, if you are grown up, the things that are in the heart of the Father becomes your concern. Every day you wake up, you find out what God wants to do in your life, what God wants to do in this territory. It begins to govern your prayer point. Your lifestyle are shaped by those things that you perceive in the heart of the Father. That's why a man can be on the mountain for 2 years. You think he's praying about himself. You don't know what you're saying. He's asking God, when will we buy back up? He knows what is in the heart of the Father. There is a promise to the ancestors that 400 years from now, Israel will come out of captivity, and they will come out with riches and plenty. The guy was resonating with Zion. It's a language of spirit, bodies. See, when he was grown up, the Bible said he will leave the palace and go to, see what he said, that he went out unto his brethren. So all the while, when he was a child, pleasure was his life. But now he had realized that there are some people living in Peri that were part of him. He went out unto his brethren and he looked on their bodies, the labors, the pains in Egypt, and he spied an Egyptian smitten an Hebrew, one of his brethren. It has dawned on him. Now he can feel what they feel. He is not in the field with them, but he bears their pains. He knows what they are going through. He could live and become a witness of what is happening to them. And he said he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And the next day, he went there again. That means nowadays, the palace was no longer a place of pleasure. The place where he derived pleasure was when he suffered with his people. If he come into that scorching sun when they were suffering, that is when his true happiness comes to him. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24, the Bible said when Moses was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So it's not just like he was fraternizing with the Hebrew people. He now rejected the pleasures of Egypt. He rejected everything Egypt had to offer him. Before now, Egypt paid his salary. So Egypt determined the things he said. But now he said, to hell with your money. Hunger can become a way of life because I have found what is in the heart of the Father. He said, when he was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt, which is but for a season, because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This guy had seen something that was beyond the realm of mortals. The Bible said it is because he saw him that was invisible. He has come to a point where he knows what is the Father's mind. That thing was what regulated his thought pattern.
It was what regulated the direction he spent his money. It was what regulated the place where he lived and where he visited. Some of you want to go to Dubai. Hey, Dubai, Dubai. Ah, on the beach of Dubai. You are a dead man. You know what boarding is. The father will tell you, go to Kogi State. And in Kogi, go to Olamaboro. And then you will reject Canada and go to Olamaboro in Kogi State. Because you know boardings. My friend had a scholarship to do his master's and PhD in Canada. Reverend Hughes graduated with first class in psychology. Scholarship, and he was to be retained there. But God said, hit Makurdi town big. Hey, brother. Makurdi, hey. When you have the option of Canada and you hear Makurdi, hello. His body is a sign that you have come of age. When you begin to attend to bodies, what happened? You have come of age. Spiritual maturity is not a function of age. There are many things that serve as indicators to spiritual maturity. One of them is bodies. Your ability to interpret bodies. Your ability to live according to the body of the Father that is in your heart. That is what determines where you are. The Bible said the heir, so long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So God places him under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. That time appointed of the Father is when you come to maturity. Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 to 5. Burdens. What are the burdens in your heart? You wake up every morning. Ah, boy, this morning I think I go eat egg and rice. No, egg. Okay, man, I take pomo. And then you eat, you come and lie down. Till 12 o'clock, you sleep. Then when you wake up again, oh boy, hunger day. You are like the beast of the field that perishes. The Bible says, a man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. What is honor in the kingdom? Is the service of the king. And only men of body knows the things that are in the mind of the Father. We don't need to be so many to change our world. Jesus handed over his ministry to 12 men and he was confident. 12. All he needed was to bring them to a point where they could host his bodies. He said, in this world you have tribulation. You want to send somebody to ministry, you are telling him you have tribulation. He said, some of you will be killed. But when burden is formed in your heart, you don't hear the threat anymore. What you hear is the heartbeat of the Father. The heartbeat of the Father. That's what you hear. So they say, go to Meduguri. You wake up your family. What they do, they will kneel down from the door. That day you want to go, and they will be crying. Where you want to go, this one will hold you like this. Cry. When they cry, this one will hold you and cry. Will you not change your mind? I am going bound in the Spirit. Paul was going to Jerusalem. The Bible says seven men spoke by the Spirit. This one was not sentiment. Seven men, he said they spoke by the Spirit. But Paul rejected their counsel. He had a witness in his heart that God wanted him to go to Jerusalem. Agabus, the famous prophet, carried his cloak and said, the man who owns this thing, this is what will happen to him. He said, I go to Jerusalem, bound in the Spirit. Body. How do you explain a man who lived in the palace with all the pleasures? All the pleasures, leaving it to go to live with slaves. The people he commanded as a prince, they will begin to rule over him. It doesn't matter. Some of you, when God now says, okay, go back. The people you were commanding, become their slave if you will serve me. I read stories about the Moravian brothers. These guys will sell themselves as slaves because there was no way they could enter a nation. The only way they will have access into the nation was to be carried as slaves. They will sell themselves as slaves. Give the money to others, and they will be carried as slaves into a nation never to return. Never. Having no hope of returning. They enter new territories as servants, as slaves, so that the gospel can be preached as a witness. What we are talking about today is not what the fathers preached. That's why we live for ourselves. We hear the wrong thing, so our procession in the soul is faulty. How can somebody sell himself as a slave? Because the gospel must enter the land of Greece. The gospel must enter the territory of France. Two brothers, their own advice to themselves is, oh boy, we need to enter there. So people are looking for slaves, they sell themselves. That's how two brothers connive against their family. Because the gospel must enter a territory. You hear of men like John Knox saying, give me Scotland or I die. How How do they get there? They attend to bodies. The Holy Ghost will begin with you. You want to eat, you say, kai, kai, kai. You lose your peace, don't eat. You want to eat, kai, kai, kai. That's how it begins. But most of us never attend to bodies. Our bellies have become our gods. And when we wake up, we go and read all the doctrine, and we think it's about doctrine. You come, you begin to explain all the scriptures. Explain all the scriptures. You will be a babe forever. He said, when ye ought to be teachers, you have need of being taught the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, but strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern. To discern. That sound judgment, it comes when you have exercised your senses. Bodies. Bodies. When Moses was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There are things you must have to reject today. You've been called too many names that blot your ego. But there are things you need to reject. Becoming big in God is not a function of the doctrines you know. Doctrines are very important because they are the boundaries that guide us from excesses. But what will take you to God is your yieldedness to the protocol of eternal life within your spirit. Somebody asked John G. Lake how he was able to wield so much power. He said, my soul is exercised in eternal life. My soul is exercised in eternal life. Those things you neglect, they are the things that will make you. Every time the Holy Ghost comes knocking, you don't pay attention. You think it's about leading prayer in the prayer meeting. But as you are going home, you say, fast for 3 days. You can't deny it. You know God has spoken. And then it's strong on your heart. But you go, make a check all day online. You check Facebook and you diffuse that burden. And when that burden diffuses, after 3 days, you come, you say, Lord, use us. You are a clown. Jesus, use me. And then you lie down, you start crying because they are singing a song that stimulates your soul. You are a clown. You say, use me, Lord, use me. Then the song make you feel sorrowful. Then you now cry. You say, Lord, use me. You are joking. Those buttons you neglect, they are the direction of growth. And the more you yield to them, the more you become significant. It doesn't take God anything to announce you to the world. The world is just a globe in the hands of God. It takes nothing. But how well do you attend to bodies? These were things that the wise patriarchs of old, they had this understanding. Bodies. Bodies will lead you to tight corners. It is in those tight corners that your soul will crystallize the voice of God. You see, the voice of God is not something... You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. So, the voice of God is for those who follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit. It's not something special. You go and check, they say, 5 ways of hearing the voice of God. Meanwhile, your soul is laden with pleasure. Even if God is speaking with a megaphone, you can't hear it. The voice of God. People are laboring. 7 ways to hear the voice of God. Then they cram it. And then I said, can I tell you something about the prophetic? You can be very accurate in the prophetic, but you may not be part of the agenda of God. Do you know why? You can develop your mind and you'll be able to pick things in the spirit. But that you are picking things in the spirit does not mean God is talking to you. So I can come around you and through the gift of discernment of spirit, I can judge the energy from your spirit and tell you a lot of things about yourself. I do it most of the time. But for God to speak to a man and say, this is what I'm doing for a time, that man must be a man who is aligned with the government of Zion. That's why you see most of our prophets are living in immorality. They are still prophesying. You are wondering, why are they prophesying? There is a mechanism in the soul that if you develop, it can pick things from the realm of the spirit. But they will never hear God. They don't know the mind of God. That's why they are calling names and phone number when God is saying revival, revival. How many prophets are you hearing talking about revival? They don't know where God is going. They have only trained their spirit to pick things from the realm of God. Bodies, they make you stand with God in alignment. Heaven can count on you because you have mastered the way of attending to bodies. Sometimes you go home from a prayer meeting and then you are tired, you want to sleep, and the Holy Ghost says, rise now. You stand up, you sleep again, but you can't sleep. Rise now. Every time you wake up, your heart is heavy. Then you just carry yourself. Sometimes, nowadays, I sleep on ties. Because
most of the times these instructions are strange. So I don't sleep on the bed anymore. I sleep on tiles. Even if God is not speaking, sometimes when it becomes very cold in the night, you wake up. You wake up. And sometimes I sleep constantly with messages. If the tiles can't wake me up because I'm too tired, sometimes I will go and hear, God is coming. And then sometimes I'm preaching and the person is talking about the angelic realm. And then I begin to see the visions of angels. And then I wake up and say, thank God, thank God. Then I'll hear the message. Okay. He's talking about angels. It's what he's saying that is animated. Bodies, they are the things that make men. Great men are not made by doctrines. They are made by bodies. In this kingdom, you want to be great with God, you must follow the organic protocol. The Holy Ghost is the only one that has the compass of your destiny. And he's the only person that will guide you into all truth. If you don't follow the Holy Spirit, you will never amount to anything. And following the Holy Ghost is not in your head, it's in your spirit. He leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. By bodies. That was what made Moses a great and mighty deliverer. He knew the language of bodies. And when you follow body, a time comes where God leads you to the backside of the desert. He said he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and God began to speak to him. Bodies lead you to the place of the voice of God. And when you come to the place of the voice of God, that is where total surrender is required. Because you have come to understand that it's not given to man that walketh to order his steps. That is one of the most difficult college in the school of the spirit. The difficult, most difficult syllables is the syllables of the voice of God. And God, his voice will be scarce until you come to a point where you don't trivialize it. Spirits will only speak to you when they are sure you will obey. You will come to a point where you say, we will not move unless you go with us. You will not take any decision unless he speaks. I was talking to a sister today, and I was explaining some of these things to her. Lord, what should I do? Should I take this admission? And then you sleep. And then the day is mainly 3 days, and God didn't speak. You say, oh boy, well, let's be going. When God speaks, we will do. After all, Eleazar of Damascus, while he was in the way, the Lord led him. I used to use that scripture to trim my friend. You know, sometimes we joke and then we play around scripture. I told my friend, well, I'm trusting God to speak on this matter. But while we are waiting for God to speak, while we were in the way, the Lord led us. And then you say, I have the mind of Christ. You will never hear the voice of God. You will stand there until he speaks. And when he knows that you are an honorable man, then he begins to speak to you. Lord, I will not go. You will stay there, even if it looks as if you don't take the next step, things will be wrong, but you will not move. You are making a statement that the voice of God is your absolute authority. At that point, heaven will be jealous. Kenneth Hagin said, it's better to be late than to move too quick and mess up the whole thing. I will not move unless God speaks. Many of us have drifted to our senses. We use our senses and we keep navigating until we come to a junction. You know, when you are in a junction, your senses can't work anymore. It's either left or right. You know, the world is a very big puzzle. You can go like this, you are still moving. But when you come to, Lord, who do I marry? That one, it's hard. You can't use your senses anymore. Then you now see them walking up and down. This prophet come, the kind of prophet. Then you see people line up from here. You see line that people wait for 4 hours to see one prophet, hoping that he will tell them something. And then when they come, the prophet will advise them and say, sow your seed, sow your seed. Don't move until God speaks. It is the secret of great men. Listen to them. The secret of men is hid in their stories. When you hear it, you discover they never moved until God spoke. You will hear, they say, God told me. God told me. God told me. We are a generation of quick people, so they function by assumption. It's not superior argument that win in spiritual matters. In spiritual matters, it's the voice of God that is your security. And if you have not yet developed the art of waiting on God is what will be scarce. Most of us here have not heard the voice of God for a long time. From whence we got our admission, the course we are reading, we are graduating now, is just assumption because we are on a fast lane. Nobody can wait anymore. In the days of old, a man could go to the mountain and wait for 40 days for God to speak. And if God doesn't speak, he won't come down. What's the point coming down? If you come down, you'll live by your senses and it will take you nowhere. They waited on God. That's the life of Moses. You see, most times, if I want to explore a doctrine, I just look at the life of somebody. Because their lives are revelatory pathways into mysteries in the spirit realm. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 19, you see where God gave Moses all the details. And even when Moses entered Egypt, he still depended on the voice of God to survive. What if he didn't wait in Horeb to hear God? When he encountered Pharaoh, Pharaoh rejected him. What would he have done? Then he will now come and start assuming, what do I tell Pharaoh in the morning? What do I tell Pharaoh in the evening? They would have cut his head and put on a chaplain. But when Pharaoh speaks, he will go back to God. It's not like Moses was daft. He didn't know what to say. There were many answers that came to mind. But when Pharaoh speaks, he goes back to God because he knows his safety. His possibilities were all locked up in the voice of God. Everything about your destiny is locked up in the voice of God. Everything. The contradiction of 10 years can be unraveled by one sentence from God. What to do? Where to go? What to do? Unless God doesn't speak. If he speaks, everything changes. We pursue men too much. That's why our life is a function of many dislocations. The voice of God is cast in our generation. We know so much doctrine. We know a lot of things about God. But there are few who know God because only few hear him. When God speaks, his reality is communicated. The Bible said in Ezekiel chapter 1, chapter 2 verse 1, he said, as he spake to me, the spirit entered. The guy did not just know what to do. The capacity to do was also communicated. These are possibilities in the voice of God. When you see a high flyer in the kingdom, it's a man that can access the voice of God. If you see a man who knows the voice of God, is invisible. You can't hurt him. You can't trap him. It's like the wind. The voice of God. The fathers of old knew this. It's a technology in the spirit for safety. It's a technology in the spirit for empowerment. It's a technology in the spirit for survival. If your life is full of contradiction, don't go too far. Just shut down for 3 weeks. Go and wait on God. It will change the story for good. But if you can't wait, you may still run for another 2 years. Life is lived once. Never try it on assumption. I'm a scientist. We do a lot of things. We run a lot of things on experiments. You can only afford an experiment when there is a room for second chance. Your second chance is in heaven. And heaven is a place of reward. You can't afford an experiment with your life. The only safety is in the voice of God. The men of old, they had this understanding. That was why they lived their lives the way they did. There were cases in scriptures where people they don't give answers. They wait for weeks until God speaks. Nebuchadnezzar came to the wise men. Daniel said there is a God that reveals secrets. He implored the king to give them time. If you need to take time, take time. Don't act as if you know it all. You are not omniscient. But if you cannot apprehend the voice of God, your life is going somewhere to waste. Because safety in life is a function of the voice of God. The voice of God is the compass of navigation. These are basic things, but most times we are not taught their significance. So we are not patient enough to explore them. If you know that your life will amount to nothing unless you hear God, you will stop everything and hear him. There are many things I've lost waiting on God to speak and he didn't speak. But today I'm happy that I can apprehend the voice of God. Because when God begins to speak,
there is a mystery in God that can cause you to overtake many times that were wasted. Elijah waited until God spoke. He prayed for long. But when God spoke, the Bible said the hand of God came upon Elijah. And he outran the chariot of Ahab. It doesn't matter who took off before you. Get the voice of God. It will change your life for better. It will cause you to stop the struggle. We struggle so much because we don't take advantage of our resources that are in the spirit. The last thing I want to share with us is what I call responding to summons. You see, when God teaches you the technology of burdens, burdens bring you into intimacy. Burdens activate consecration. The voice of God gives you direction. The voice of God gives you security. The voice of God gives you empowerment. But there is yet another thing. They are the summons of the Holy Spirit. From time to time, the Lord will bring you up for fresh instruction, because things can change. The devil too re-strategizes. So Moses did not stop at the level of burdens. Moses traveled further to the level of hearing the voice, and he yet traveled further to the level of summons. You read the Bible once and again, and you hear the Lord say, "Come up to the mountain, thou and Aaron. Come up to the mountain. Come up to the mountain." Exodus 19:24. "Come up to the mountain, thou and Aaron." It was the lifestyle of Moses. There were times when Moses came down. As he was just coming down, God calls him back. And then he will go back to the mountain. There were times when Moses didn't eat for 40 days. God said, "Come up. Come up. Come up." How often do you respond to summons? You sense a need for prayer. And then you say, "Okay, I'll pray tomorrow by God's grace." And tomorrow you wake up with another responsibility. And in the evening, that thing pricks you. The Holy Ghost pricks your heart. And you say, "God, I forget to pray today. Tomorrow I'm going nowhere." And then your phone is on. WhatsApp chat. Bang, bang, bang. Wait till this person to talk like this. Facebook. Ging, ging, ging. Or your auntie calls. "Okay, are they come now? Are they come? I'll come back by 12. You will not go anywhere. See, most of the things I'm telling you like this, I learned them by experience. Nobody taught me. God appeared to me when I was 7. By an open vision. But it amounted to nothing. If you don't do these things, you will go nowhere. I know people who pride themselves in, "I've seen an angel. I've seen this." Keep saying what you are saying. After 10 years, we'll know those who are called. "Ah, the Lord appeared to me. Ah, I saw Jesus. He walked through the wall and he was shining. His face was like the sun." Don't worry. When all of us become 50 years, we will look back and find out those who walked with God. The elders did not pride themselves in their visions. The Bible said they walked with God. They walked with God. The things that make you are not your visions. It is your walk with God. As important as encounters are, if you don't subscribe to the protocols that they regulate you with, you will amount to nothing. He said they walked with God. One of the most, the man that explored the spirit realm the most was Enoch. But his greatest credential was not his visions. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. You know what it means to walk with God? Walking with God is, what's the greatest issue? It's like becoming a puppet in the hands of God. If God wants to stretch his hand, you are the one. "Go to Boko. Go to Maiduguri. Don't sleep this night. Don't drink water. Do it." That's what it means to walk with God. Walking with God is functioning always by his instructions. You are exposed to his instruction and you are constantly yielded to it. You will not have a life. A man who walks with God lives no life, is robbed of his own life. That was the kind of life Jesus lived. He said, "It is written in the volumes of the book." Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. "I come to do thy will, O God." Even when it was difficult in Gethsemane, he knelt down and said, "Lord, not my will, but thine." That's what it means to walk with God. Always sacrificing your own desire for
for the desire of the Father to find expression through you. There are few Christians that walk with God.
Summons to the Spirit. Rise up. How many times do you respond when he taps you at night? Rather, you want to run and tell people that last week an angel tapped me on the shoulder. An angel tapped me. The carnality is just too much.
While I was praying in the Spirit, I saw light.
What did you do? We will not hear that part.
All your days of disobedience, we will not hear.
I saw this. God spoke to me. But our lives are going nowhere.
Summons. This is how the Holy Ghost makes men and bring them into the fullness of their call. He begins by furnishing a burden in their heart. As they attend to that burden, they begin to access his voice. And then he gives them the instructions of destiny. Once and again, he will call them back to the mount. The life of Jesus was a mystery. It was a strange life. Jesus will go for a crusade, minister on the first day, and then the crowd will come the next day waiting for him. That's the day to shine. And then he will sneak through the back door and go to the wilderness or to the top of the mountain to pray. He never joked when the Father summoned him. There were times when Jesus was going on the mission. And then while the disciples enter the boat, they are about to take off. You are about to enter your flight, and then there's a summon. And then he will tell them to go, he's coming. And then he will go to the mountain. There are summons. These are the things that make men in the kingdom. Forget the company. Let them go. Follow God. That's what will make you. In this kingdom, only God makes men. In this kingdom. Forget the gimmicks. Forget the strategy. It doesn't work. Because when God is making a man, he first of all transforms him from the inside. Before he gives him authority and position. You can use strategy to pursue position. But even when you get it, you will make a mess out of yourself. Because at that point, your greatest weaknesses will be revealed. But when God makes you, he transforms you from the inside. You become a candidate and a recipient of his glory. A reflection of his dimensions. So even when there is no position, you enter a desert and a wilderness. It will become a forest. John went to stay in the wilderness. The Bible said in Luke chapter 1 verse 80 that he was there until the day of his showing forth. He didn't come back to the synagogue and say, I want to preach a sermon. While he was in the wilderness, the Bible said the whole of Judea went to him. He didn't need a pulpit. He didn't need a platform. All he needed was obedience to God. You can be in the wilderness and cry, and God will amplify your voice by a mystery. And men will look for you and trace you into the wilderness. The places where our fathers have built their churches today, they were not lucrative places. When Bishop Oedeko entered into the wood, it was a forest. There were lands rejected. These men entered there. And today, those lands are cities. Because they knew the voice of God. They knew how to trade with spirit. The ways of spirit are rare. And only men of obedience will be willing to follow. Because most of the times, it doesn't suggest any kind of advantage. Everything that constitutes an advantage, God will pull you out of it. Then he will teach you how to trust him. And it's that trust that will become your heaviest molecule as you walk with God. Because a day will come when you will stand in a land that is full of darkness. All you will hear is a whisper from heaven. And he will say, stretch forth your hand. How do you explain a man walking with over 3 million people and he approaches a Red Sea? It was the Spirit of God that led them in that direction. And then you come before the biggest obstacle. Nobody had ever crossed the Red Sea before. The technology of ships were not there. And he says, stretch forth thy hand. How can you ferry 3 million people beyond the Red Sea? There was an army chasing them behind. He says, stretch forth thy hand. Stretch forth thy rod, and the sea parted. And the Bible said the glory of God left from the front and went to the back. And it caused the winds of the Egyptian not to move. Many things happening at the same time because somebody has mastered how to hear the voice of God. How does the glory of God become an impediment to the wheel of chariots and horses? It's a wisdom in God, but it's only available to men of obedience. You are living with challenges, sickness in your body, house rent not paid, you are not married, you are 35. What do you need? It's the voice of God. When God speaks, one man can come into your life, he will buy you a house. House rent will no longer be a problem. He will solve the problem of marriage. And he can come as a man who is a prophet.
infirmities will go away. It takes the voice of God. It's the most prized commodity in all of eternity. But very few have it. And that's why our world is laden with contradiction. The reason Satan and demons can deceive you is because you don't know the voice of God. If you know the voice of God, Satan will flee from you. Because all his strategy will become a waste. But there are few that know the voice of God. It takes a lot of dealing with God to come to that point. You must learn the way of bodies. He will furnish it at the weakest time of your life. Most times it comes when you are weak. Why do you think God does that? He wants to show you that there's another form of strength beyond the ones that food can provide your body. There's an energy that is beyond adenosine triphosphate. That one perishes, but the energy that comes from God, it does not deplete. It is the nature of the I am that I am. The El Shaddai dimension of God is what he wants to show you. That is when you can travel beyond the spheres of mortality and come into the chambers of immortality. You can draw from the strength that never runs dry because you learn to obey the voice of God. I was teaching them in the Bible school. We had had lecture for close to 7 hours. They were tired. I told them, don't worry. There's another energy level. If we can get there. And when we travel to that energy level, they prayed in tongues for over 3 hours. And the more they prayed, the more they became stronger. It's the wisdom in God. How often do you attend to bodies? How often do you attend to the summons of God? That is what we make you. I don't talk against the ministry of prophets. God put them in the body for a very strategic purpose. It is prophets that bring to bear the laws of righteousness. It is prophets that give direction oftentimes to the body of Christ. We don't talk against them. But the ministry of the prophet is not to make babes out of you. You must of necessity take the responsibility of alignment. Most of us here today, if I make an altar call for bodies, you'll be shocked everybody will come out. Bodies. There were times when the Holy Ghost came troubling me in 2012. He said, pray. Every night, pray. A whole month will pass. I'll be planning to pray. I was not wise. Pray. Most of the times, that is when your window is open. Your Kairos time has come. Heaven have moved on your account. But you are not wise. Pray! There was a time when God troubled me for 3 months to pray. I didn't pray once. In 2009, I didn't pray once. When that window closed, and I met somebody, and he was telling me how that 3 months ago there was a wind of prayer. I said, wait, did God tell you to pray? He said they've been praying for the past 3 months. Jesus. That was when I started trying to pray. The window had closed. The reason we stay in one spot for too long is because we don't know how to align with God. It's the way of the fathers. They understood the language of bodies. They understood the language of summons. And they have the word of God, the voice of God at their disposal. Spirituality begins when you know how to walk with the Spirit. It's not a function of doctrine. It doesn't matter if you are born in church or you are a child of a pastor. What is your walk with God? Your walk with God is not the much scriptures you know and can quote. How much of God is walked into your vessel. And most times when the Spirit wants to walk himself into you, he sucks you into his atmosphere. He draws you away from everybody so that you can mingle with him. The word is called koinonia. You participate with him. You experience him in communion. The mystery of communion is to show you the technology of oneness. In theology, we call it the doctrine of interpenetration. Two becomes one. It's a mystery. It's what the whole infrastructure called marriage was set in place to mirror. To show you that it's possible for two to become one. And every time two becomes one, something is born. That is why marriage gives birth to children. It's a sign in the spirit that every time you become one with the Holy Ghost, something will be born. And most of the time, it's your ordination that is born. You are a prophet, but it will never manifest in time unless you become one with the Holy Ghost. The same way a man and a woman becomes one and a child is born. That is how you become one with God and your destiny begins to blossom. Your ordination comes alive. Everything God wrote concerning you before the foundations of the world, the basis of their manifestation is your oneness with the Holy Ghost. But very few are one with God. Very few are one with God. Tonight we will cry. Lord, give me body.
Give me hunger. I'm willing. I am willing. Most of us have aborted many heavenly missions. An angel entered your room and charged the room with energy. Every time you enter that room, you want to pray. It's as if worship songs begin to rise in your spirit. They are the sounds coming from heaven. But you have aborted mission too many times. Most of the times, even God himself stretches his hand in our direction. But we abort mission. We abort mission. Because we live for ourselves. Our life is characterized by too many distractions. And that is why we look for God. Whereas God is at the door of your heart, knocking every day. It comes in form of bodies. Bodies. Prayer. Fasting. Giving. But we never attend to those voices. You want to cry? Say, Lord, tonight, show me the way of the Spirit. Show me the way of the Spirit, that I may walk thereby. In Isaiah 30 verse 12, it says, when you go in the wrong way, you will hear a voice behind you. It will tell you to turn back. That is not the way to go. We waste energy pursuing God to different territory, whereas in the very chambers of our heart, the voice of the Eternal One cries. He cries, but we never align. We never yield to him. Talking bogus things. You don't take over the media by having 10 million followers. If the owner of Facebook press a button, you can lose all those followers in one day. What if Facebook shut down? We take over the world by building systems. And systems are born out of intimacy with God. It's born out of intimacy. You don't take over the government by raising a president. That president will lead there for a few years. He will go away. Another evil man will come and change all the policies that he has planted. You don't change the economic world by having a stake. We must rise up and come into intimacy with God. And from our bellies, let things be born. Let systems be created. The earnest expectation of creation is waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. Shaka Brasile Banatarias. Brella Gasina Brando Susa the Caria Tatis. Brella Gatina Congre Paratas. Some of us are burning in our hearts, the burden of prayer. Can you go ahead and tell the Lord? Make a covenant tonight. Father, every time that someone has a prayer, call upon me. I want to be a counteract in your hand. Some of us, the burden is fasting. Lord, my appetite will not draw me away from the kingdom. My desire is to draw away from the kingdom. Are we aligned? Father, unless you speak, I understand that your voice is the compass of life navigation. Cobre Santa Talina Manda. Omelele Supra Hakitalias. Aras Pedre Lakina Bonde La Hatina.
Silas, Mariana, Perito, Perito, Perito.
time. But I want to make another call very quickly. You are the one that knows the body in the Lord have been punishing your heart that you have not obeyed. I want to give you an opportunity to come out now and make a new covenant. Some of you, the Holy Ghost has prompted you. He said, rise up in the middle of the night and pray. Up till now, you have not started. Some of you, is a covenant of giving. Some of you, is a covenant of consecration of your bodies. Some of you, is a covenant of fasting. Some of you, is even a covenant of the study of the Word of God. That study. How will you take over your word? How will you change the landscape of the Spirit? The topography of the Spirit? How will it change if you don't yield to the Holy Ghost? Jesus, who was the Son of God, his life was a life of perpetual obedience to the Holy Ghost. He didn't come and say, I'm the Son of God. He knew that without submission to the Holy Ghost, there was no hope. The Bible said he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He still went. God led him into temptation. He went. No wonder he returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Go ahead and talk to God now. Talk to the Lord now quickly. There is a place where my heart cries for love. There is a place I am yearning for. It is a place where deep cuts to the deep. I am overwhelmed. Oh, man, there is a place where my heart cries for love. There is a place I am yearning for. It is a place where deep waters to the sea. Shabarana Taliga Pass. Are you imagining the number? So God is not cursed. God is not cursed. We are the one refusing to yield. This is over 70% of the auditorium. So God has been reaching out to over 70% of this congregation. God is not cursed. He is in the place. We are deep cuts to the deep. Yes, God knows you need to get married. God knows you need school fees. He knows you need a car. But he also has a body. He has a demand. He has a desire that only you can fulfill. Oh, my heart cries for love. It is a place I am yearning for. It is a place where deep cuts to the deep. I am the Lord.
I want to know you.
Cry to the Lord.
That I have known you, Lord. Spirit, baby.
And I just want to be where you are.
Dwelling daily in your presence.
That's a prayer. That's a prayer. Make it a prayer. I don't want to worship from above.
Draw me near
to where you are. Jesus said, no, Jesus said, no man except the Father draws him. No one come to me except the Father draws him. Come on, make it a prayer tonight. Take me to the place where you are.
I just want
to be
with you,
just want to be
God. You are
in your dwelling place
forever.
Take me to the place
where you are. I just want to be with you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Look upon us with mercy. Look upon us with mercy. Look upon us with mercy. We come with our hearts yielded to the government of your Spirit. Breathe upon us afresh.